I just slipped and knew it was serious. We'll see what tomorrow shows and go from there. My teammates stepped up earlier this season and everyone has the utmost confidence going forward.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball. Today we're going to be looking back at the 10 games from Wednesday. Some curious coaching maneuvers, maybe a couple of rants in there. We'll see how that goes, and a serious injury to Victor Oladipo, as well as a preview for Thursday's four-game NBA DFS slate. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it indeed. We will start where we always do on this show.
Monstrous line of the night.
Once again, is anybody shocked that the monstrous line of the night is Jim Harden of the Houston Rockets? 61 points, 5 triples. That's the highest scoring NBA game this season. 5 triples, 15 rebounds, 4 assists and 5 steals. And he just doesn't just score. 15 rebounds, 5 steals? Look at that free throw percentage, 88%. 22 of 25 from the line. That is a category winner almost on its own. He took 38 field goal attempts. He had a usage of 54%. That is an absolute nonsense level of usage. 62 true shooting in this game. Harden continues to be an unbelievable fantasy player, the number one guy all season. Over the last month, his Z-score value is 2.29, which is an absolutely unfathomable amount. Normally, your lead is about a 1.5, 1.6 maybe. That is how well he is going. Averaging 44.5 points over the last 15 games, with 8 rebounds, with 8 assists, with over 2 steals, and a block. How often have we ever had the triple one 45, 8, and 8 club? That's what he's doing over the last 15 games. It is just absolutely ludicrous, these numbers. Yes, Chris Paul's return will eventually take some of this load off Harden, who has a usage of 46% over those last 15 games. And amazingly, still doing it with a significantly above league average true shooting numbers. If you drafted Harden, I was pretty clear preseason that I did have Anthony Davis at number one, but the top two were streets ahead of literally everybody else. So Harden at one on two. And if you got him, if you got him at two, you're happy. If you got him at one, you're happy. If you got him at four or five or six, which happened in some leagues, then you are absolutely dancing around like a crazy person. So Jim Harden is your monstrous line of the night as he puts up yet another just unbelievable performance.
Waiver wire line of the night.
The waiver wire line of the night goes to Terry Rozier of the Boston Celtics. With Kyrie Irving out due to a hashtag illness, Rozier started and put up a really, really strong performance. 26, 8, and 6 for Rozier with 4 triples and a steal. Now, he shot 69% from the field.
Giggity!
It's not something that's likely to continue, nor is 30 minutes a game. We know that he's one of the best rebounding point guards in the game, but don't look at this as any sort of, indication that you need to go and grab Rozier outside of, you know, the deepest of leagues. He's played 29 minutes in 2 of the last 3 games. That's mainly just due to absences of other guys and blowout type scenarios. I wouldn't be reading a huge amount into this from Rozier. We know that when he starts, he tends to put up better games, but the last game he started, just 7 points in 25 minutes. Realistically, just an 18-team league guy. He's not getting traded, I don't believe. I don't think that you should just be holding on to him, waiting for a Kyrie Irving injury. That just seems like a waste of a roster spot. More of that, 16 to 18-team league guy is maybe more accurate for where Rozier sits. Still remains one of the worst shooters in the NBA, yet to have a season where he has shot over 40% from the field. Marcus Smart, Ricky Rubio, these guys used to get killed for that. Rozier doesn't get that. He's treated like a savior point guard. Every team's our number one priority. Yet again, never had a season where he shot over 40% from the field, and we're going in that direction again this year. The deep leaguer of the night goes to Alonzo Trier of the New York Knicks. A fantastic game from Trier. 33 minutes, 31 points with 10 rebounds, 2 triples, 3 assists and a steal. 67% from the field and a perfect 5 of 5 from the line. Of course, 67% from the field is not a realistic expectation, but as we move forward, he has put up some strong numbers. A 70th ranked player, or 68th ranked player to be honest, over the last 2 weeks. on 55% shooting, so we can drop that way down, and that is double the value of his next highest fantasy category, which is... sorry, that's not true. His highest fantasy category is the fact that he has not missed a free throw over those last 2 weeks on 3.6 attempts. That is double his next highest category, which is field goal percentage. And then none of his other categories, except for assists, which are just marginally above average, none of them are actually a positive contribution. So you look at those two numbers and go, well, will he be a 100% free throw shooter? Of course not. Will he be a 55% field goal guy? Of course not. And that does drop his value down. But if you want to take a flyer on him, especially in 14-team leagues, I can understand that. Yeah, a couple of really strong performances over the last two games, 16-6-8 and then 31-10-3. They're really, really good games, no doubt. And with the nonsense in New York, which we'll talk about soon, yeah, he's worth having a look at, but consistency is not going to be his strong point. And if you don't believe me, his last, let's go through his last, I don't know how many games this is because I can't count, 12 games, 18 minutes, 19 minutes, 22 minutes, 19 minutes, 9 minutes, 14 minutes, 29 minutes, 16 minutes, 12 minutes, 24, 30, 33. So there's literally complete up and downs, and this is since Christmas Day, where he returned from injury on Christmas Day. So it's all over the place. The numbers are all over the place. The last two games are great. We've seen a couple of these before. In fact, there was a stretch at the end of November where he played 34 minutes and had 25, 8, and 4, then 23 minutes, 10, and 4, then 31 minutes, 24, 10, and 7, and then back to a whole bunch of mediocrity. Did it again in early November. So while it's great, and adding him is a fine move, we have to just treat it with a huge dose of skepticism because of the data-centric man with the glasses who is coaching this New York Knicks team at this stage. Let's go on to the next award.
Young Gun of the Night.
The Young Gun of the Night is the Donovan Mitchell of the Utah Jazz. He was great, and it wasn't the fact that he was playing point guard, because Ravishing Rick Rubio started, and Mitchell played 38 minutes, had 35 points, a lot of sixes in that line, 6 triples, 6 rebounds, and 6 assists, with 2 steals and 2 blocks, and that one of those blocks was really fantastic. 48% from the field. He had a real chance of jumping into maybe monstrous consideration, apart from the 5 of 9 from the... well, actually, he didn't, because Harden was so far ahead of everybody else. 5 of 9 from the free throw line killed him, but something I've been stressing with Mitchell all season, let's look at how this free throw rate goes, and it is really, really going up at the moment. Over the last 7 games, he's at 8 free throw attempts per game. It's one of the things that I thought he'd be able to do heading into this season, and he hadn't been able to do, except lately, he is getting to the line at a significantly higher rate. And as a usually good free throw shooter, that is absolutely massive for his fantasy value. And I wouldn't be stunned if a top 25, top 20 finish from here on out is a possibility for Mitchell. I'm not saying that that's the likely scenario, but with how things are playing out for him at the moment, with this increase in free throw rate, which is really, really key at the moment, really putting his numbers through the roof at this stage, that is important to his overall fantasy value. And again, the assists are jumping up. He's got the ball in his hands a lot more, and it is really, really helping what he is doing from a fantasy point of view. So Don Mitchell is your Young Gun of the Night. The dud of the night played in that same game as Don Mitchell. He was on the other side, and it was Paul Millsap of the Utah Jazz. 18 minutes from Millsap, didn't play in the fourth quarter. 2 points, 5 rebounds, nothing else. 1 of 8 from the field. I have been lower on Millsap than most people this season. Over the last month, he's outside the top 200. Is he a 10-team drop guy? Yeah, I believe he is. Is he a 12-team drop guy? Well, I think that would come down to who are you adding in his place? Who is the guy that's going to take that spot? But he is struggling to... It's such a significant amount at the moment that it really is hard to... And we know that... And this is a game even that Mason Plumlee got ejected. And part of the reason why he wasn't playing that much is because Plumlee and Jokic were playing together more, and Malone liked that combination. He just can't get any minutes up. Over the last week, he's playing just 23 minutes a night, Millsap. Just under 24 minutes a night over the last month. He's not shooting that well. His free throws are bad. The blocks are non-existent. He's getting no assists on this team. And yeah, back in Atlanta, he was a 3.5 assists a game guy. He's at 1.8 this season. I think age has really caught up with him. The scenario, the situation here in Denver isn't to his liking. And I have my concerns that he won't be a 12-team league guy from here on out. I think that's a realistic possibility with Millsap. It's not looking great. I think that's the takeaway there. The plus-minus goats, Landry Shamet was a plus 69.5.
Giggity!
And Millsap was a negative 77.6 to have the worst net rating of the day. Shamet continues to be an excellent streaming option for three-pointers. Let's get on to the disappointing news of the night, though. Injuries. Quickly talk on Anthony Davis, who we thought could be out for a month. Now it appears that he's okay, and he's going to be reevaluated every 48 to 72 hours, which seems oddly specific. Rich Paul the other day was, we want to be extra cautious, and now he's like, no, it's actually not as bad as we thought. So there's a chance that Davis returns next week, so that's obviously a huge relief. But the big news, of course, today is Victor Oladipo suffering what looks like a season-ending knee injury. We don't have any specifics on it. The speculation coming from me is either a torn patellar tendon, which Jeremy Lin suffered last season, or a potential quad tendon tear, which, of course, Tony Parker and Kawhi Leonard have suffered in the past couple of seasons. Wayne Seldon, it cost him most of last season as well. But I think we should be bracing for the fact that Oladipo not only won't play in the regular season, but potentially is out of the playoffs as well. Now, we're not dropping him yet. We're going to get that MRI confirmation on Thursday about this injury, but there is absolutely zero positivity coming out of this injury from Oladipo. It was clearly a knee issue. It looked to be a patellar issue. It was protruding from his knee, and that means that there's a significant risk of some ligament issue or tendon issue there in that knee. And again, with no inside knowledge on this scenario, I'm going on reports, reactions, and the fact that Woj tweeted that expected to be season ending. I'm expecting it to be season ending. So the question is here, who do we add? Who's the grab? Who do we grab? Well, when Oladipo was out earlier in this season, and he's going to go down as one of the biggest fantasy busts this season, no doubt about that. When he was injured, Tyreke Evans stepped in, and he didn't do anything. He was maybe barely a top 100. No, he wasn't even a top 100 guy. And even today, he struggled. Now, over his last 2 weeks, he's been much improved over what we've seen this season. And he is probably the guy I'd look to add. If Darren Collison's around, I'd add him. Because he took a step forward when Oladipo was out. Really big step forward. He's been strong lately. Bojan Bogdanovic, he took a step forward when Oladipo was out. Corey Joseph is also going to take a step forward. I look at Joseph as more of a 14-team league player, maybe 16, but probably 14-team league guy. And Evans is a guy that you have a look at. And if he is on your wire in the 12-team league, I think he's worth having a look. His upside is significantly higher than Joseph's, but we've had one go of him in this starting lineup alongside Collison, and it didn't go well. He didn't put up good numbers, but again, the play we're seeing from Tyreke over the last 2 weeks is significantly elevated as compared to where he was at the start of the season. So that is something worth mentioning, and he is the guy. The priority ad is him. Actually, that's not true. I think the priority ad is Collison if he's available. Collison, Evans, Joseph, and then deeper leagues, Aaron Holiday, who probably pushes into an 18 to 20 minute role and put up some really strong numbers early this season, enough for those really deep formats to pay attention to. So it's terrible news for Oladipo. We hope everything is okay. It's not a career limiting injury. I think the odds of him returning this season with under 3 months left in the regular season seem highly unlikely. But again, we will wait and see how that goes. Isaiah Briscoe suffered an ankle injury today. He wasn't able to return, so Jaron Grant moved into that backup point guard role. There's very, very little to see there. Jabari Parker, a weird scenario, just didn't play in the first half of today's game. No word at all from the Bulls. He was in the locker room, not on the bench, and then halftime, it's like, oh, by the way, he's not playing due to a patellar tendon issue, similar to what maybe Oladipo could be suffering from. Of course, not the same injury, but maybe there's an issue there with Parker. Could he be back out of the rotation? Maybe. He wasn't really pushing 12 or 14 team league value anyway. Rondé Hollis-Jefferson suffered a shoulder sprain. He was unable to return. He is not a 12-team league guy at this point. He's struggling so badly. And again, another name, put him alongside Terry Rozier, and I'm sure there's others, I just can't think of them, in your list of contract year players. Because he has not been good. So yes, injuries have been an issue there, but he hasn't been good. And I wouldn't be stashing him hoping for big returns. In fact, Trevion Graham's probably been a better option for the Nets in that little time that he has been starting there. While late in the Pelicans game, Nick Mirotic left the game with a calf strain. The Pelicans are saying they'll see how he goes for tomorrow's game. I really don't think that there's going to be any chance that he plays in that game. It would seem pretty silly to have him out there playing on a back-to-back after straining his calf at the end of Wednesday's action. But we'll keep an eye out there. So good news with Davis and some pretty bad news with Victor Oladipo. Supposed or predicted bad news for Oladipo, but the injury It did not look a good one at all. Let's go on to these games now across the NBA for Wednesday. There were 10 of them for us to break down, so let's go ahead and do that right now. The first game we take a look at, the Toronto Raptors and those Indiana Pacers. What a win this is for Indiana to win without Oladipo against one of the best teams in the NBA. They win 110 to 106. Just did a an interesting, I did like a buy low, sell high video and podcast, so go and check those out. And a couple of the guys I talked about three guys in particular who was important, DeMar DeRozan, Serge Ibaka, and Victor Oladipo, saying that all those guys were buy low options. Now, of course, Oladipo would be a horrible buy low option at this point, but both DeMar and Ibaka both really bounced back here. 23 and 11 for Serge with three blocks on that high field goal percentage, so strong from him, while Lowry had 20 and 7 with five rebounds in another game that the fun guy Kawhi Leonard sat out.
I'm a fun guy.
Siakam played 37 minutes and had 16, 9, and 4. The field goal percentage wasn't there, but everything else was pretty nice from him, while Van Vliet had 14 in 37 minutes, but he goes back to a significantly smaller role next game once Kawhi returns. For the Pacers, Thad Young was huge, 23 and 15, and yes, he had a Richie Beno.
Two for two, two, two.
Two steals, two blocks, and two triples. Great shooting from him. I thought it was a real chance he was going to regress as the season went on, but with Oladipo out, I think that does solidify him somewhat as well. It also helps Miles Turner, especially his rebounding. 13 and 10 for Turner, 38 minutes with Sabonis in foul trouble, and four blocks. Turner's usage didn't change that much when Oladipo was out last time, but his rebound rate did increase, so hopefully he can keep up these big rebound numbers. Well, Daza Collison had 17, 4, and 8. I've been down on Daz this season. His last couple of weeks have been really strong, and he looks to have probably a top 70, top 80 type of rest of the season in him. Bogdanović, I'd also expect to see his free throw rate increase with Oladipo at 16 points with two triples. He was strong. While Evans, 27 minutes for Tyreek, 11, 3, and 4. Yeah, that's good enough. It's good enough to add, as I mentioned earlier. While Corey Joseph played 32 minutes, he just isn't a good fantasy player. 7, 3, and 4. Although, to be fair to Corey, his assist rate this season has been a pleasant surprise. So that's a shout out to him for being able to improve that area of his game. The next game is the Orlando Magic. They fell to the Brooklyn Nets 114-110. Aaron Gordon was back only 25 minutes as he returned from that back injury, while Evan Fournier was terrible. 9 points on 4 of 11 shooting, 2 rebounds and 1 assist. When he has these poor games, try and throw a real buy-low offer. And buy-low, I mean the worst player on your team. Vooch was fantastic. Centers against the Nets is always money. 21 and 14, 2 steals and 4 blocks, while DJ Augustin had 19, 3 and 6. He just teases us with these games and goes, shit, that's nice. And then he goes out and has 7 and 4 in the same amount of minutes. So his inconsistency, one might say he is...
Sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit.
Maybe the sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit needs to be just spread around everybody. Maybe it needs to be the people's championship, so to speak. John Isaac, this is why I was Dutch ruddering him in the preseason. 16 points, 4 triples, 4 rebounds, 1 steal and 3 blocks. Now, his block rate has been marginally lower than expected. His steal rate has been in the toilet. He hasn't been able to shoot well, but this was great. This is why I was interested in him as a late-round pick this season, and he showed it here. I'm not overreacting to one game and going and adding him based on this. It would be nice if he could keep doing it, but he hasn't been able to do it. But it is encouraging, nonetheless. Mo Bamba blocked 2 shots. He's a block specialist. You put him as on the block specialist list behind, say, the guy that I've completely forgot, Mitchell Robinson, and on a similar level maybe to Jonah Bolden in Philadelphia, probably a little bit ahead of Jonah there. Well, Terry Ross, the shit show was going to come, and it was here. 9 points on 12 shots. D'Angelo Russell continued his good form. At least he got to the line here. 4 of 5 from the line. 25, 7, and 10. 2 steals, strong from him, continues to make a push towards the All-Star game amazingly. While Dinwiddie had a good game, it's good to see them playing well together. 29 points for Spence on 59% shooting, while my man Rowdy Rodions Kuroks had 13 and 4 in 22 minutes. Now, Kuroks is still rostered in just 5% of Yahoo leagues, and while I don't think he's a 12-team league guy, being 95% available is absolute bullshit, and he needs to be rostered in significantly more formats than that. Smokin' Joe Harris, 13, 4, and 3. He's fine as a back-end 12-team league guy. And Jarrett Allen, not the greatest night from Allen, 11 rebounds, 6 points in 29 minutes. Eddie Davis also wasn't a good night from him, 5 fouls in his 19 minutes of playing time. The next game was the Cavs and the Celtics. The Celtics get the big win, 123-103. Chetty Osman, of a career night, 25 points, 6 triples and 8 rebounds on, of course, 73% shooting. And we know that's about 30 percentage points higher than what he normally does. So don't overreact too much here to Chetty. The opportunity has been there for him all season. And this is really the first time that's actually paid dividends. Alec Burks had 10, 9, and 6. He had 2 steals and 2 blocks, but he's as up and down as they come. And then it's just a whole bunch of shit for this Cavs team. The 33 minutes for Ante Zizic is nice, 19 and 8, and then literally nothing else in that line, and 1 of 3 free throw shooting is disappointing. I have him, say, behind a guy like Ivica Zubac in terms of an ad. I just don't know how Drew is going to roll him out once Thompson actually returns. And Colin Sexton had 16, 6, and 3. That's okay. The percentages were brutal, bad assists, no steals. He just is what he is, a points league guy. I know I've given him plenty of names before, short Kevin Knox. Maybe he's American Emmanuel Mudiay. That's sort of what he feels like at this point. He's not a good NBA player at this point, nor is Rodney Hood, who had 3 points on 9 shots. For the Celtics, there was no Kyrie, no Al Horford, so Gordon Hayward stepped himself up, 18 and 5 in 25 minutes with 2 steals. And we know from history that when Kyrie is back, he'll go back and do nothing. So I'm not adding him based on anything here. Same with Jaylen, who had 23 and 6, and Jason Tatum had his 15 points. This game was that much of a blowout that Brad Wanamaker played 20 minutes and scored 11 points. So yeah, take a lot of these performances with a pretty sizable grain of salt. Aaron Baines started, had 22 minutes, 2 and 8, not his best performance. He's normally good for close to a double-double when the starting center is out on whatever team he happens to play for that season. Next up, the Clippers and the Heat. The Clippers 111, beat the Heat 99. Beating the Heat would be nice. Shout out to everybody, including Matt Smith in Adelaide, who had a record temperature, their hottest day ever. I think it got to 46.5 degrees, which for those of you in America is, I think, about 115 degrees Celsius. No, Celsius. Shit, not Celsius. 115 degrees Fahrenheit. So shout out to Matt and all Adelaide / South Australian listeners, because that is bloody... It was bloody hot here. It was about 100, 102 in Fahrenheit, 38 degrees, I believe. But that is absolutely ridiculous, speaking of beating the Heat. For the Clippers, Much and Gortat moved back in the starting lineup. Huh? I don't know why. 23 minutes, maybe it's to match up with the goodness that was Hassan Whiteside. 10 and 8 for Gortat, while with the table, Montrezl Harrell, just the 26 minutes, not his best performance. Jerome Robinson, interestingly enough here, 17 minutes. Prison Mike out of the rotation entirely. That's Mike Scott for Robinson to get those minutes. Just a name to watch in deeper leagues. Toby Harris, 31, 7, and 6. Lou Williams, 13, 5, and 6 with a triple one. And the minutes were low for Lou because it was his second game back and it was a back-to-back. Avery Bradley's now strung together 3 strong-ish games. I'm definitely not paying any attention in 12-team leagues, but in 16-teamers, maybe there's something there. I'm not putting full faith in it. Well, Gilgeous Alexander had 10 and 3, and Patrick Beverley, he struggled a bit, 4 and 6 in 34 minutes. For the Heat, it was a big Hassan Whiteside game, 22 and 16 in 32 minutes, and when that happens, that means we get a shit Bam Adebayo game. 16 minutes for Bam, 8 and 7. I find it hard to have him as a must-hold 12-team league guy. The Heat did make a change to their starting lineup. I don't know how long I've been talking about this, but I said that Scooter Magruder is going to be out of the rotation soon. Well, he went out of the starting lineup and out of the rotation entirely. It absolutely boggles my mind the amount of times that NBA coaches stick with a guy starting, and then when they take them out of the starting lineup, they just don't play them at all. And that's what happened to Magruder here. Tyler Johnson started. He played 36 minutes and had 14, 2, and 5. That's strong. I don't think 36 minutes is realistic for Tyler. I think he can be a 12-team sort of guy. I'm just not sure that's the case because, weirdly, Derek Jones, who's been playing well, played only 11 minutes here. And I think that I could see him getting 22 minutes a night, and that could impact what Johnson does. Neither of those guys are strong 12-team league guys. Justice Winslow, I think he's settling into who he is, 11, 2, and 3. Not a great player, not a bad player, but a solid back-end 12-team league guy. While Deion Waiters played 29 minutes. That's too many for Deion. He's not that good. 9 points with 2 triples there for him. Joshie Richardson also 17, 5, and 5, but the shooting was pretty poor. Next up, we've got the Houston Rockets and the New York Knicks. The Rockets win 114-110. Ken Fareed started, had 11 and 8 with 3 steals and 3 blocks. Ignore the steals and blocks. That's not realistic. The 26 minutes, the starting, the bad free throws, that's more realistic for Fareed. And for this short-term period, he is a 12-team league guy. He's ahead of Zubats and Zizic and Jahlil Okafor, those sort of players, as fill-in centers. So go and grab him. PJ Tucker remains a defensive stats streamer. 2 steals and 2 blocks for him with 9 rebounds and not much else. While Eric Gordon, he did bounce back from that poor performance last time, as he was expected to do. And as I mentioned on today's trade check-in video, yeah, when Chris Paul comes back, his value is going to dip. But if that is before the trade deadline, I would hold, because if the Rockets are going to trade someone in a big sort of deal, Gordon's going to be the guy to move. Austin Rivers had 4, 2, and 4 in his 34 minutes. He is not really a 12-team league guy. On to the Knicks. Now, for whatever reason, if you don't want to hear me talk about David Fizdale, just fast forward 2 minutes. Skip it. Every time I tweet something about Fizdale, no, he's a good coach. Look at how bad the Knicks team is. The Knicks want to lose. They're tanking. They don't care about wins. They want to lose. And I understand that. I know that they want to lose. We have to remember the tanking rules now and the lottery odds, how flat the lottery odds for those top 4 spots are. The 1, 2, and 3 worst records have the same odds. The Knicks are already down. They've won like 10 games. They're already right down the bottom here with the worst record in the NBA. It's not about them playing poorly. And they play or playing well, because they played all right here against Houston. And you could make the argument they could have got the victory here. That's not what I talk about with Fizdale being a bad coach. It is his inability to stick to one common thread of thought at any point. Oh, can a man change his mind? Yes, he can. But this guy changes his mind every day, sometimes multiple times a day, does not communicate effectively with his players. Oh, he's a player's coach. That's why Marc Gasol hated him and he got fired in Memphis. That's why Enes Kanter hates him. Maybe he's got an anti-European bias. Maybe that's it. I don't know. Today, okay, so this is the state of affairs with Enes Kanter. Enes Kanter will be the third string center now. Luke Kornet will start. Mitchell Robinson will be the backup. Kornet gets injured. Robinson fouls out. Kanter plays the most minutes there. Yeah, it's funny. It's a joke. The third stringer, he didn't think he was going to play. All right, but that's fine. He got in. He played more minutes. No worries. Kornet gets injured. All right, he's out for a couple of weeks. Enes Kanter will be our starting center now. Hey, Enes, you're our starting center now. Sweet, cool. Back to it. 5 hours later, a DNP. Like, that is bullshit. And you can tell me, well, Kanter sucks at defense. They were playing the Rockets. Harden was going to roast him. Yes, he sucks at defense. Yes, Harden was going to roast him. So what you're saying there is that Fizdale didn't know who the opponent was when he announced in the morning that Kanter was the starting center and told Enes to his face, you're starting. And then he went home and went, oh, shit, we're playing the Rockets. Sorry, mate, you're out. Is that better or worse? I think it's worse. This doesn't even go into the times where Kanter was the starting center, replaced by Mitchell Robinson, played minutes in the teens, and then went back and played 26 minutes off the bench, and then came back as the starting center, and then was replaced by Luke Kornet and played minutes in the teens, and then remained off the bench and played minutes in at 25. He has just been jerked all over the place. Developing Emmanuel Mudiay over Frank Ntilikina makes no sense. Mario Hezonja out of the rotation entirely. I talked about Alonzo Trier's yo-yoing minutes consistently. At the start of the season, 2 days before the season, Kevin Knox is going to be our starter. He is going to start opening night. He is going to start. He is going to play through these things. One day later, no games in between. Actually, he's coming off the bench. These are not the ingredients of a good coach. And that is all I'll have to say on Fizdale. And you can disagree with me as much as you want. He's not a good coach. Anyway, Robinson had 3 blocks in his 17 minutes, didn't miss a field goal, and of course he fouled out. He is an elite blocks streamer. He is probably an ad in most 12-team leagues. That field goal percentage and blocks bump that you can get is really, really strong. And at some point, maybe, he'll get to 20 minutes. Maybe, if he can stay out of foul trouble. Vonleh had 10 and 10 in 2 blocks. He's actually the one that started at center in this one, Vonleh, with Lance Thomas being resurrected to get that starting spot in place of Kanter. I didn't even mention that. Lance Thomas had 2 points in 14 minutes and was decidedly not good. Speaking of decidedly not good, Kevin Knox had 12 and 8 with 2 blocks on 27% shooting and 2 of 4 from the free throw line. Remains more of a points league guy or a streamer, and my faith in him long term is not great. But the positive, I guess, here is Tim Hardaway, 21 points in 35 minutes. His minutes have been really low lately, so that's strong. The shooting wasn't. While Mudiay, 14 and 4. He played 18 minutes last game, Mudiay, back to 28 here. very hard to get a full idea of what his role is going to be as we move forward. He's more suited to points leagues than category leagues, but he's okay as a 12-team league guy. Well, Damo Dotson, remember when he started at the start of the year? 8 points in 25 minutes, not much to look at there. Apologies if you didn't want to hear a Fizdale rant. If you don't want to hear a coaching rant, again, just might want to tune out when we talk about the Chicago Bulls, which are the next team up. The Atlanta Hawks beat the Bulls 121-101. John the Baptist Collins, not a surprise that he put up big big numbers here against against the Chicago Bulls, as big men pretty much always do. And he's had a really, really strong season pretty much for this team since coming back from injury. So strong from him, 35-8, 4 triples and 2 steals. His lack of blocks remains absolutely perplexing. He averaged 1.1 blocks per season last year. He's like half a block a game. Now, I think it's going to improve, but it is having an impact. The Undertaker, Dwayne Dedman, 14-7-5, under-rostered, needs to be rostered. And the artist formerly known as Taurean Prince. This should give you some hope. He had been shit when coming back from the ankle, but this was strong. 15-6, 3 triples a steal and a block, 28 minutes, while DeAndre Bembry also played just the 28 minutes. And when Kevin Huerter comes back, I feel Bembry's going to be in a fair bit of trouble with that role, and it goes back to those deeper leagues. Nice from Alex Len. If you're in a position to stash, maybe you look at him in case the Undertaker does move on. He had 14-10 in his 23 minutes, while Trae Young, just an abysmal 5 points on 1 of 12 shooting, but 7 rebounds, 12 assists and a steal, and 2 of 2 from the line. Now, I guess saves it to a degree. For the Bulls, let's read this quote from Jim Boylan. Our grit and toughness needs to be better. Can we just get this guy the hell out of the NBA? Like, he is... I thought Jason Kidd was a bad coach. And I was right. But... who's this bloke? Like, just absolutely no idea. Oh, Jesus. Chris Dunn, 16-4-3, 2 steals and 2 blocks. Now, the people who have Chris Dunn, I've had multiple people ask me, oh, should I drop Chris Dunn for Alonzo Trier? Should I drop Chris Dunn for Ante Zizic? People want to drop Dunn. I don't think he's that good. I also think he's a must-roster player for fantasy. Levine had 23-4-4, and Markkanen had 22-6. That's some okay games there. Chandler Hutchison's getting the minutes. He's not doing much with them. 6-7. While Robin Lopez had 5 points in his 15 minutes. And again, if the Boylan defenders want to come on here, Josh, they're trying to tank and lose. That's what he's there for, to lose. They were losing plenty with Fred Hoiberg there. Plenty. They just didn't have a numbnuts in charge. It's not all about them getting wins or losses. There's so much more that goes into it. And it's not me complaining about fantasy value. It's not what I'm doing with these coaches. There's so much more that goes into it. Like, yeah, Fizdale might have this rep, but... Or Boylan, like, who wants to go play there? When Darren Fox had that interview on a podcast and Chris Haynes' podcast, and they're like, you know, what would you do if the coach wanted you to come in and run sprints after a back-to-back? He said, I'm not going in. Like, that's, how's that reputation for recruiting people? So it doesn't matter if you're competitive and you're gritting, you grind, you show your toughness out there to lose by 20 to the Hawks. If no one wants to come play for you, this is not how the world works. Anyway. PunchBob Shiploke, speaking of bad players, he started the second half over Lopez, played 33 minutes and had 9 points on 12 shots. He just is a chucker who provides no defensive numbers. The 7 rebounds are nice. And again, in saying all this, I think he's a 12-team must-roster guy. Because I just think the minutes are going to bludgeon his way into value, but he's not as good as what his reputation may, or what some people's opinion of his reputation may be. The next game up, the Charlotte Hornets and the Memphis Grizzlies. The Memphis Grizzlies lose again, 118-107. Kemba had 22-7 with 4 steals. And Nick Batum, don't look now, he's showing some signs of life, 18-4-2, and I'm not rushing to grab him. But if he's on my wire and I want to stream guys in, I would consider it. He's not a must-roster guy, though. Tone Parker had 17, as did Jeremy Lamb. We also had a ton of minutes from Bismack Biyombo. 29 minutes, he fouled out. 9-10 in that time. It's still nothing to get me overly excited for fantasy leagues, 12s or 14 team leagues, but interesting that he played that much in this game, while Miles Bridges only the 4 minutes and Devontae Graham, the 2 rookies, 0 minutes for Devontae, just 4 minutes between those 2 rookies. Onto the Grizzlies. I thought for sure Gasol wasn't going to play with that back injury. Well, it turns out I'm wrong, because he played 39 minutes and had a triple-double, 22-17-10 with 3 steals and 2 triples. Hashtag trade showcase. Again, if nobody knows who Marc Gasol is as a general manager, they might as well come here and take my job and I'll go do theirs. Mike Conley, 31 points with 2 rebounds and 2 triples. Not his best night in the peripherals, but a nice efficiency and a nice scoring night. While Triple J had some foul issues, and again, Bickerstaff just loves handbreaking him. 15 points with a quintuple 1-3, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 1 steal, and 1 block. And Jermichael Green picked up the slack, 14-3-3. Both of Green's previous two games had been under 20 minutes, so this is strong from him. He's still more just a 14-team lead guy. Well, Justin Holiday, remember the guy who was playing like 17 minutes a night a week ago? 40 minutes. 10-6 with 2 threes, no steals after being getting 4 steals every night, pretty much. He's still okay as a back-end 12-team league guy, but that's not going to last long. Don't really understand giving Javon Carter 4 minutes or Ivan Rabb under 2 minutes. Let's get them some more playing time. I think, interesting, Shelvin Mack, just the 17 minutes here. He's gone back and forth, Bickerstaff, with those two guys for the majority of this season. Next up, we've got the San Antonio Spurs and the Philadelphia 76ers. The Sixers win 122-120, strong game here. DeRozan, 26-9. It wasn't necessarily his best game, but that's a huge improvement on what he's been doing, especially the 63% from the field. His free throw percentage dip and his lack of free throw attempts is really, really troubling, and I detailed that on the Buy Low, Sell High podcast I did earlier today. Derek White, 36 minutes, 15-4-5 with 2 steals and 1 block. And the fact that he is available in 45% of leagues makes me think that 45% of leagues are inactive, because that is a ridiculously low number. If he's on your waiver wire and you can't fit him in because your team's that strong, just nudge. Can you just nudge someone in your league and say, pick him up just for my sanity, please? It makes no sense. LaMarcus Aldridge had 13-5-6 with 3 blocks, not his best night. While Rudy Gay needs to be rostered in more leagues as well, 17-4. With Bertans out, we had Dante, the worst fantasy player in the NBA, Cunningham, get in 0 points in 11 minutes for him, while Brittany Forbes had 4 triples and Marco Bellinelli as well. Bellinelli just quietly is on a massive hot streak at the moment and is providing 12-team value. He's not a must-roster guy. He's not even a, I'm going to hold and see where this goes sort of play necessarily. But if you need some efficient threes, Bellinelli is coming through at a huge, huge level at the moment, and maybe a little bit under the radar. Benny Simmons with General Saunders, Jimmy Butler out of this one. Simmons had 21-10-15, and Embiid with his sore back. That doesn't matter with him. Sore back, whatever. 33-19 with 2 triples and a block. The numbers are ludicrous. Speaking of three-point streamers, Landry Shamet had 3 triples and 3 steals with 14 points. The steals there are a little bit fluky for Shamet, so I don't need to worry too much about that. While Redick had 6 triples and 19 points. And Timothy John McConnell, 8 assists, 1 steal. Poor man's Marcus Smart. Let's try the gritty Marcus Smart, whose dad was a high school coach, version of Marcus Smart. He had 8 assists and 1 steal there, while baby neck Wilson Chandler had 2 steals and a block with the robust line of 6 points. Corey Brewer started again for Jim Butler, had 2 steals, 9 points with 2 triples. His spot in the rotation's hard to see how it all pans out exactly when General Saunders is back, and he really is just that deeper league guy. But I'd be pretty stunned if he is not there for the rest of the season, given how well he's played. The Detroit Pistons and the New Orleans Pelicans. Blake Griffin, just a masterful season from Blake. He's a lock for the All-Star game, 37-9-7. While Reggie Jackson turned in a good game for once, 17-5-3 with 4 triples. He is as fringe a 12-team league guy as you can get. He's Detroit DJ Augustin. That's sort of the level he's at. While Zaza Pachulia, 8-10 with a steal and a block. Some foul trouble limited him a little bit, but otherwise a pretty strong, strong performance. With Drummond likely back next game, I don't really see it for him. The rest of the rotation continues to be a mess. 27 minutes for Langston Galloway.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
He was 3 of 11 for 8 points. He's just as likely to be a DMP CD next game. The Shark, Bruce Brown. Baby Shark, do-do-do-do-do. 4-6. I like Bruce Brown long term. He's just not doing it for fantasy this year. And Stanley Johnson, I wonder, I probably should talk to Kyle. I'll send him a message. I wonder if Kyle is out on Stan Johnson, because I think he probably should be. For the Pelicans, Jahlil Okafor, what in the gods? I don't even know what I was going to say, because this is ridiculous. 17-10 with 6 blocks in 31 minutes. The disappointing thing here is that Davis will maybe be back next week, and that's going to limit Okafor's value, but for short term, shit, he is a must-roster guy. That's huge. Drew, someone tweeted at me today, I don't mean to shame this guy, he goes, oh, why wouldn't the Pelicans run a lineup of Drew Holiday, Nick Mirotic, Julius Randle, Anthony Davis, and Jahlil Okafor? And my response was, they'd probably give up about 200 a night. But these guys are all playing well. Mirotic, 11-7. Randle, 13-13. And Drew, 29-5-7. How good has Drew Holiday been this season? Like, the fact that the Pelicans suck, it probably means he won't get into the All-Star game, but he has been really, really strong. Lord Alfred Payton, it's getting close to drop zone, I reckon, for him. 2 points in 32 minutes with 5 assists. If you wanted to drop him to stream in DJ Augustine or Reggie Jackson, or add John Isaac back, or add Tyreek Evans for Alfred Payton, to me is a no-brainer decision. And Payton's really, really struggling at the moment. The last game of the night was the Denver Nuggets and the Utah Jazz. We've talked about it a little. The Jazz win 114-108. Jokic started off slow, 28-21-6 with two steals and a block. Now, there's a real chance that he could get suspended for the next game on Friday with that altercation between Favors and Plumlee. He did step onto the court a step or two. Didn't get involved in the skirmish, but the NBA hates that, so that's something to watch there. While Farton Will Barton was back in business. Now, I've called out a couple of coaches. The Denver Nuggets are looking good in the West. Not as good as they were maybe a week ago, but they're looking good. And Dr. Michael Malone's been coaching well at times. Curious decisions here. He just really loves Torrey Craig. 38 minutes for Craig here. Two steals and four blocks. That's fine. It just screws the offense up. And the fact that Malik Beasley, who's been shooting 50% from the field and been a real key part, played only 8 minutes is curious. But that's not the reason I want to shit on Malone. Because earlier today he said, Gary Harris and Will Barton will be limited to 20 minutes a night and they won't regain their starting lineup spot until they're able to get past that minutes restriction of 20 minutes per night. Fast forward 6 hours later, Gary Harris is starting and he played 28 minutes. Will Barton plays 30 minutes off the bench. So there's a couple of things to pick there. You say they're on 20-minute limits and they play 28 and 30 minutes, so you're lying there. You say they won't start until they can get that 20-minute limit. Well, Harris played 28 minutes and did start, so which one was a lie? But Barton played 30 minutes and didn't start, so is Barton not going to be a starter moving forward? Was there some sort of amazing medical cure in the 6 hours in between that upped their minutes restriction? Just a dickhead. Just really, really, it just bothers me a lot. And I know they're trying to obfuscate from their opponents, like, oh, we got you there because Barton's only playing 20 minutes. Ha, 30 minutes, you're wrecked. It's, I don't know. Barton was great. 22-9-5, a steal and a block. It'd be interesting to see how he fits back into the starting lineup, but that was strong. For Torrey Craig, he did have two steals and four blocks, but they're unrepeatable numbers. While Gaz Harris,
nice, Gary!
He had 16 points with not a lot else, but good to see him back in the lineup. Trey Lyles took a lot of Millsap's minutes. He played 20 here and had 12 points, while Monty Morris took Malik Beasley's run and had 10 points in his 23. It wasn't a good Blue Arrow night, 9 points, and he might have been the dud of the night had it not been for his teammate. For the Jazz, Jingle and Joe, 14-5-8, back on board. This is why I wasn't keen on dropping him. It's been lean, no doubt, but he's got that talent still there, and the role wasn't disappearing. Well, Ravishing Rick played 24 minutes, 17-3-6 on 60% shooting, so big from Rubio, while Royce O'Neal moved to the bench and had three steals. His value has disappeared. Favors got ejected after 5 minutes. So Epe Udo played 11 minutes and Jay Crowder got extended run, but Crowder still remains just as that 14-team league guy. That'll do it for Wednesday's action across the NBA. Let's flip it over now and talk some DFS across the league. The first thing we need to do is look at the perfect lineups, and on DraftKings, Harden almost got to 100, 97.25. Alonzo Trier, Farton Will Barton, Serge Ibaka, Jahlil Okafor, Terry Rozier, Thad Young, and Marc Gasol for a total of 455.25, and that costs 49,800. And then on FanDuel, Rozier, Augustine, Trier, Harden, Toby Harris, Barton, Thad Young, Serge Ibaka, and Marc Gasol for a total of 449.4, and that costs the full $60,000. All right, guys, let's look at DFS now for Thursday. Four games on the slate. We'll take a look at the DraftKings pricing for today's action. The first game we take a look at is the New Orleans Pelicans coming off a back-to-back facing the Oklahoma City Thunder in OKC. The spread is a huge 11.5 points towards the Thunder. The total really big, 238 points there, of course. No Anthony Davis really does have an impact on that spread. And then Nikola Mirotic went down at the end of Wednesday's game with a calf strain. I'd be really, really surprised if Mirotic is ready to go for this Thursday action. So some opportunities opening up for some other players there in New Orleans. At point guard, Westbrook is at 10,700. I like this for Westbrook. It's almost a guaranteed 50 points. He shot well each of the last two games. Really strong play here for Westbrook. While Lord Alfred Payton at 5,400. He's always done well against the Thunder. Well, not always. Averaged 40, though, the last three times out against them. I'm not having my faith in him, more just a GPP guy. Well, Drew Holiday is going to have to carry a huge load. He is, to me, an absolute lock for cash at 8,200 on DraftKings. You've got Frank Jackson, Tim Frazier, Dennis Schroeder, yeah, maybe 4,800 for Schroeder is worth looking at, who has got a pretty strong record against the Pelicans as well, averaging 37, some of that as a member of the Atlanta Hawks, of course, in a starting role. Sub 5,000 for Schroeder is interesting, but it's not the greatest of all options. Etwan Moore's at 3,900. He was limited in Wednesday's game due to his injuries and a back-to-back. Of course, this is the second game of that back-to-back, so I imagine he'll be limited again. Well, Terry Ferguson, putting up strong numbers, 27 points last game. He's at 3,700. Not a horrible GPP guy to get some other high-priced type of guys in, like, say, a Russell Westbrook. On the wing, Darius Miller's at 3,300. He's had a 34-point game this season. No Mirotić likely. No Davis, definitely. That does give an opportunity for Miller to take on that Mirotić role. Now, it's very hit or miss, but he could be a GPP guy. Paul George at 96, I love for both formats. And Solly Hill, maybe he's in the rotation. I don't care if he is anyway, because he is not a fantasy sort of player. Jeremy Grant at power forward, 5,000. Limited upside, I believe, but strong cash floor. And then the other big men, you got Jahlil Okafor at 4,900, who dropped a casual 40 today, including 6 blocks. I like him at that sort of a salary a lot. While Steve Adams at 6,600, a strong floor guy, especially against a matchup like Jahlil Okafor. And Julius Randle, he's giving us 40 a night pretty comfortably. Again, a massive cash play. This is a huge, huge value play here. Westbrook, George, Randle, Okafor, Holiday, all these guys have really great value in a huge spread game. This is the stackable game of the day, I believe. Over on FanDuel, not quite as aggressive because some of the pricing's more aggressive, but Okafor at 5,500 is strong. Schroeder's got value at 57. You look at minimum salary Darius Miller as a GPP guy. Westbrook, Adams, Randle. Now, Westbrook and Randle are pretty high, 12-2 and 8-9 for those two guys. But again, the situation does favor them. And the 9,500 for Holiday is a little bit more hard to stomach on FanDuel than it is over on DraftKings. Let's go to the next game. It's the Golden State Warriors and the Washington Wizards. The Warriors are 9-point favorites. The total is 235. Klay Thompson, of course, was on fire last game. Will he be able to keep that level up? We're not sure at this point whether he will do that, but that is, of course, something he's been doing pretty much through all of the month of January. All right, let's take a look at the point guards in this matchup. Of course, we've got Steph Curry at 9,100. He's always had a good record against the Wizards, averaging 50 the last three times. Games have generally been a bit more competitive than what this one looks like it'll be, but he is a relatively strong option here. While on the Wizards side of things, Satoransky's at 5,400. I think he's not a bad cash play, a solid floor. I'm not sure the upside is really there for Thomas here, though, but yeah, not a bad cash option. And then you've got Chasen Randle, who plays some okay games, but really nothing to get excited about. At shooting guard, Beal is at 8,900. Now, he only had 30 points last game, but prior to that, he'd been chucking up massive, massive games. DraftKings dropped him by $500 on the back of that last game, so I would clamber all over that to put that into a lineup. That is a great, great price for Bealo. While Klay Thompson's at 6,400, really, really strong at the moment from Klay, so that looks to be a pretty good price, but he has struggled at times this season, but not in January. Otto Porter's at 6,100, one of those guys who does do well against Golden State, averaging 41 the last three times. I'd be happy to use him. And Durant at 9,000, a 50-point average against the Wizards means he is clearly in play as well. So a lot of strong options here. Trevor Ariza at 59, I don't trust the recent 43-point average over his last three. There's been a lot of assists and a high field goal percentage. He is just as likely to shoot 2 of 15 in this game than come out and drop 40 points once more. While Slammin' Sammy Decker is at 3,400, getting a few more minutes at center these days, and this matchup against DeMarcus Cousins, maybe they need to use him. Maybe Tom Bryant gets in foul trouble. I don't really see the value, though, in him. And Jeff Green.
My name is Jeff.
Green could be an interesting one against the Warriors. I would have liked it more before Cousins returned in more small ball type scenarios. I'm probably going to fade him here, though. At center, Boogie's at 5,800. In his two games so far this season, he's averaging 29 points. And at 5,800, that's not far off where you need to be. I imagine the minutes will rise again for Cousins. If he stays out of foul trouble and hits his shots, then very easily could be a 35-point performance here from Cousins. So I do like him. Draymond at 6,000, that price has come down quite a bit. I'd probably end up leaving him alone, though. Tom Bryant, hate the matchup for him here against Cousins, 5,500 for him. It's hard to trust what Scott Brooks does with him, maybe in a tournament, but even then, I'm not sure the upside is really high enough. Mahinmi and Looney, they're not going to really do it for me. On FanDuel, I like Porter at 71, Durant at 95. Cousins at 64 is probably getting a little bit too aggressive, but I don't completely dislike it. Steph at 98 is all right, and 99 for Beal. That just shows you how big of a difference you can get between FanDuel and DraftKings. I love Beal on DraftKings. 99 on FanDuel. It's maybe a little bit too high, but it's also not a tremendously bad option. 4,500 for Jeff Green probably comes in a little bit more favorable over on FanDuel also. The next game we take a look at is the Portland Trailblazers and the Phoenix Suns. No spread or total for this one. We've got DeAndre Ayton and Rashawn Holmes who are questionable. TJ Warren is out of this one. And then on the Blazers side, Damian Lillard is questionable. So a couple of options there. Of course, if Ayton and Holmes are both out, you'll get Dragan Bender in there starting at center again with TJ Warren out. You get Josh Jackson starting most likely. And if Lillard is out, it'll be more Seth Curry, more value for CJ McCollum, probably some more value for Sauce Castillo, Nick Stauskas, and maybe Wade Baldwin can get in there. Probably not, though, even though I do like Baldwin. At point guard, Devin Booker's at 7,500. He averages 57 against the Blazers. He has dropped $800 from last time. His recent form has not been great. I am on Booker here. Happy to use him. And Lillard, if he plays at 8,400, looks like he is in a brilliant spot. McCollum's at 6,300. I would be all over that if Lillard is out. He does well against Phoenix, as do most people, but I think he would be an option. And De'Anthony Melton at 3,600, Jamal Crawford at 35. I'm not really liking too much there. Of course, the 3,200 for Seth Curry, if Lillard is out, becomes a strong option. Mikal Bridges is at 37, maybe some extra minutes with Warren out, but I'm not getting overly interested there. While Oubre at 57, I feel like he's a pretty good cash option. For the wings, Joshie Jackson's at 5,300. He had a monster 52-point last game with Warren out. Now, he shot really well in that game, so that's unlikely to stick, but I like him in this area. While the Chief, Al-Farouq Aminu at 5,100, he's just constantly bringing out 28-point games. I like him here. And again, I've had to retire that sometimes maybe good shit. Try again. Sometimes maybe good. Let's just play it.
Sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit.
It's a relay, and Aminu's got the baton in his hand. He's passing it off to Langston Galloway, and it's that split second where they've both got their hands on the baton. I don't know which one's going to end up holding it. Are they going to fumble the changeover? At the moment, it's more in Galloway's hand than Aminu, but yeah, that's a long-winded way of saying that Aminu's consistency has improved. The big man, let's look at Nurkic, who is crushing at 8,000. I don't know how you can fade him in a matchup against Phoenix, who could be, again, throwing Dragan Bender out there. As for Ayton, centers have done well against Portland. He's at 6,500. If he plays, I think he could be a low roster percentage guy who could really blow up, but we'd need to check that status. And, of course, the 4,100 for Rashawn Holmes becomes one of the plays of the day if he plays and Ayton is out. But at this stage, we don't know that. And then Bender, if both of those guys are out, gets an increase in his value. On FanDuel, I like a lot here. Joshie Jackson, Booker, Nurkic, Lillard, Oubre, Aminu, all of those guys I think come in pretty strong. A real interesting stackable game on FanDuel. Even Ayton at that 7,400 if he is ready to play, and the 46 for Holmesy if he's ready to go. And Christian James McCollum at 6,600 is a good play if Lillard happens to be out with that wrist issue that he's dealing with. The last game of the day, the Minnesota Timberwolves against the Minneapolis Lakers. The Wolves are 1.5-point favorites. The total 229 here. Rondo is questionable. LeBron has been ruled out. While Jeff Teague.
My name is Jeff.
He is questionable. He said he couldn't run on Wednesday. On Tuesday. So I'd have to doubt that he plays here. But of course, if he is out, you get Jared Bayless and Derrick Rose getting that boost like last game. At point guard, Rondo at 5,200 with no Lonzo Ball. I don't care that he's on his way back. I think that's a strong option. Stevenson at 41 would be a GPP guy if Rondo, in fact, doesn't play well. Teague at 5,900. I wouldn't want to use a bloke that can't run, even if he does happen to play. We'd be looking at Derrick Rose and someone like Jared Bayless. Now, Rose is at 6,500. That's too expensive if Teague plays, in my opinion, but there could be some value. Well, Bayless at 36. He had 36 points last game, so a 10x value there is fantastic. And if Teague is out, I do really like him. Wiggins is at 5,600. That's a nice price for a guy who is not that good, but even in a shit performance, he still had 31 points last game, has done well against the Lakers in the past. I like Wiggins here, but that could very easily bite me in the ass. While Brandon Ingram at 6,200, I think that's a fade to me, especially with Rondo returning. Josh the Hitman Harden, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, both sub 5,000. I only like them as GPP guys. I like Caldwell-Pope more. Not really big onto either of those players here. And at small forward, the future MVP, Kyle Kuzma's at 6,900. He struggled
giggity
last game, just the 20 points. I don't think Rondo's return hurts him as much as what it does when LeBron will return. He's still just more of a GPP sort of a player. Beasley, yeah, not really doing it for me. For the big men, Townsie, 10-2. Centers against the Lakers has always been a good play all season. I'm happy to use him. He's coming off two big games against the Suns. While on the Lakers side of things, Ivica Zubac, look, lots of calls for him to start. I'm not sure whether he will, but I feel pretty good that he will play the most minutes out of all centers. And at 4,700, there is some GPP value there for Zubac, who's had a 40-point game this season. Taj, Šarić, McGee, Chandler, I don't really see value in any of those guys. On FanDuel, Wiggins and Towns, probably the better two options there. KCP at 4,200 comes in with a decent amount of value. In fact, significantly more value on FanDuel than he does on DraftKings. And Zubats at 48 also looks like a relatively decent play over on FanDuel. Let's have a look at some studs and values now. On DraftKings, my stud is Lillard, if he plays, of course. And the value is Otto Porter Jr. On FanDuel, the stud is Devin Booker, and the value play is Joshie Jackson. On Yahoo, the stud is Bradles Beal, and the value play is Jahlil Okafor. And on DraftStars, my stud is Townsie, and my value play is Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. That'll do it for another episode today. Some terrible injury news today, of course, waiting for a confirmation on that, but we'll have all that updated over on Basketball Monster when that's sorted. Make sure you're checking out Locked On Pacers for an injury reaction to the Oladipo injury. That's going to be really important to check out how they're looking to replace his production. Follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Beeball, and make sure you are subscribing to this show, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, and on Spotify. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Victor Oladipo.